It's time for Ghost Talk, 90 minutes about everything paranormal. Our panel tonight features members of the Crossings Paranormal Research Team. Dr. Chuck Murphy, parapsychologist. Elizabeth Harbin, team leader and paranormal investigator. Jed Williams, tech manager. Lou Ann Morris, research expert. And Carrie Glazer, animal communicator and psychic medium. Now your host, Elizabeth Harbin.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Ghost Talk. I am team leader and field investigator Elizabeth Harbin, and I am joined by parapsychologist and founder of the North Texas Paranormal Group, Crossings Paranormal Research, Dr. Chuck Murphy. Hello, Dr. Hello. Chuck.
Well, I'm here. The allergies have tried to keep me away, but hey, I'm over it.
Well, I tell you, it is Texas in bloom.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you, this is the worst I can remember.
It has really been bad for the majority of all of us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got
this season has been, I think, the worst in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And the cars are now yellow. And
yeah, Sunday and I went in to eat lunch and came back out after we just washed the car, and it was completely covered in yellow again.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
It's unreal. So we also want to say hello to lead researcher Lou Ann Morris.
Hi, everybody.
Hi there.
Team equipment tech Jen Williams.
Hey, y'all. Oh.
And our own psychic medium and animal communicator, Carrie Glazer.
Heidi, heidi.
We want to remind our new listeners that if you miss our live podcast, you can catch up by going to Blog Talk on Demand, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Pandora, Podcatcher, Audible.com. Is that it? Oh,
well, I think it'd be easier to mention the ones we're not on.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Might be.
Podchaser.
Yeah. Reason FM, the reason you're here. Yes. On the, which one was it? On the, I think on the Apple podcast, I don't think we're there anymore. I'll have to go back and check into it. They sent me a notice about doing some different situations so we can be back on it. So I will be working on that this week. Let's see. I think that's it. Anyway, our call-in number is 563-999-3697. Again, that's 563-999-3697. If you have a paranormal question for Dr. Chuck, please send it to ghosttalk2020@gmail.com. That's ghosttalk2020@gmail.com. If you would like to set up an investigation with the Crossings Paranormal Research Team, send your request to Dr. Dr. Chuck Murphy, ChuckMurphy, @gmail.com. And Dr. Chuck will respond as quickly as possible. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook / Ghost Talk Radio News for updates on the show, events, or specials. And don't forget to check us out on Make It So Network on our Facebook page. And be sure and follow us, because anytime there's a change in the show or the episodes, we put it on Make It So Network. And if it pertains to this show, we put it out there on Ghost Talk Radio News Facebook page.
Ah.
So, and we're everywhere. That's right. We are everywhere. We're everywhere. And it's true. So, for those of you who wanted to get our keychains, we only have two left. Wow. That's all we've got. So, if you want to get free Make It So Network keychain, please send us an email to Make It So Network. Indicate that that's what you would prefer, is either a keychain or a sticker. Or we actually have a magnet. We have a couple of magnets left. So let us know if this is something that you're wanting to do. Let us know. Send your information to makeitsonetwork@gmail.com, and we will get back to you to figure out what it is that you want. One other thing that we want to mention for those of you who are also new to Make It So Network, we're doing our entire format has changed. We're only working on Wednesdays now. And the reason is because Luann, Carrie, Jennifer, and myself, and Dr. Chuck are working a lot on weekends and during the week. And so because of that, we're just going to use Wednesdays as our we're just taking Wednesday over. It's just going to be Make It So Wednesday, and we're just taking everything over on Wednesday. So we've got our psychic night is now Psychic Wednesday. It's the first Wednesday of the month. The second Wednesday of the month is Mediumship Wednesday. The third Wednesday of the month, of course, is here, Ghost Talk. And then our fourth Wednesday is strictly for a VIP membership. And to become a VIP member, what you need to do is to send us a email with your phone number, and we will, the first 10 who sign up will get a reading, 10 minutes for $10 with Carrie, Luann, and myself. And we already have 6 people signed up, so we've only got 4 spaces left for Wednesday of next week. So just letting you guys know. But if you want a 10-minute reading with us, send us your request to makeitsonetwork@gmail.com. Okay, that's all my news. That is the news. We had a fantastic time at Shambhala Wellness Center. Thank you to Joanna, or am I pronouncing that
Johanna.
Right?
Johanna.
Well, yeah, I think that's correct.
And Dr. Chuck was busy from the time he got there until the time it was over.
It was a busy day. I stayed busy. No complaints, though. That's why we're there.
Right.
Correct.
And before we get into too far, what I would like to do is, because Carrie's here with us, and Carrie, you were there, and you had the opportunity to reflect on your skills and talents through talking to people as they brought in their animals. So tell us what your experience was with that.
Oh, my gosh. From the second you walk in, Allison and Johanna and their team are just amazing. But for this particular one, I was outside, mm-hmm. and they had a little tent set up for us, and they had a little area where the dogs could come and their owners can come and sit, and out in the beautiful little garden that she has out there. Mm-hmm. There was also a couple of massage therapists out there, so they were doing their thing, but it was just wonderful to have these little fur babies walk up and be able to, you know, have their space and see them, and some of the communication with them. People don't realize that it is like communicating with a human.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hear their voices like a human voice. I hear them, you know, they talk, they tell their stuff. So it was really a great experience to be able to have the fur babies come in and have a place to go and be welcome and greeted. And I know that a couple of them were there throughout most of the day. So they were, you know, really greeted and welcomed and loved on, and got a good feel for what it's like in that space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we
that,
say
that
this all the time.
That last dog, there was a dog right at the very end that looked more like a horse.
The German Shepherd. Yes,
oh.
And that poor baby, he was chewing the walls. And she was like, can you just ask him, why is he chewing my walls? And, you know, without going into their stuff, but he was just lonely and he was missing her because his life had changed. They had
right.
moved. They had
oh.
come. He's in a new home. She's gone working more. She's not at home. So he was telling me he was just, and he came over because at first, you know, he didn't want to walk up to me. And after I started talking to him and he's looking at me like, you're really, this is, because they look at you too, like, this is real. You're really talking to me? And he came over and he just sat down and laid right up against me, and I always call their fur, left his sparkle on me. So, but he just was like, yeah, I just miss her. I want her home more. She's like, yeah, our world has been kind of flipped upside down.
Yeah.
They've moved to a new area. She's working, and
mm-hmm.
she's not there as much. And so he was getting upset about it. And we had a French bulldog was the very first guy that came in. And he set the scene. He just kind of came in and said, this is our space and we're owning it.
Oh, my gosh.
And he just kind of came over there and was telling me about his family and their new stuff going on in there. The biggest thing for animals, when they start acting out, I've noticed, and even with my own babies, is when their situations have changed, their personalities and how they act You know, you can have a dog that's never chewed anything, never acted out. You know, there's something in their world changes, and, you know, they start having, just like a kid, you know, and they want to tell you all about it. They want to let you know.
So for those of you who are listening and want to find out what's happening with their children, their fur babies, mm-hmm. how do they get in touch with you to get a session?
The easiest way to get in touch with me is to text me at 469-734-5259. I had to think of my own phone number. But texting, let me know, hey, this is so-and-so. I heard you on Make It So Network. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in having a session.
Awesome.
Or you can email me at Carrie Glaser, K-E-R-I-G-L-A-S-E-R, @gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, I know you were busy just almost the entire time as well.
Yeah, I think I had one break.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's so fun. I mean, like Dr. Chuck said, we want to be there. That's our passion and our love. And it just, from the second we sat down until the second we left, it's just an amazing experience with each person that came through. Because I don't read just the animals. I had some humans that I was reading as well.
Yeah.
So it was just always an amazing experience going to Shambhala.
Well, that's amazing. Well, we were, Luann and I were upstairs with Jen. We were all three upstairs, so we didn't even get the opportunity to see what was happening downstairs in the courtyard.
You know what's
garden.
Interesting is where I was sitting, mm-hmm. we're still in our triangle. Every time we go somewhere, because it was, I know that Miss Elizabeth sits right near that wall, that beautiful painting of that woman is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wall was right there, and then Dr. Chuck was in the room down right
underneath.
Kind of underneath. Yeah. It's kind of up to the side, but underneath.
Yeah.
And then Luann, so, and then Jen. So we're still in that kind of triangle.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's
right.
Because
I can hear we sit in a triangle, and then we got Dr. Chuck and Jen, and yeah.
So basically all we're doing is we're extending the triangle,
mm-hmm.
and everybody gets in that space. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
oh,
so it's really
good.
Crazy.
I never thought of
it. It is.
I just happened to think of it because I could feel it sometimes, you know, we say this all the time, is I know you were sending me energy, or I know you were thinking about me or talking about me, because I had a particular client that wanted to know about a Reiki class.
Yeah.
And I told, this is who I took. I take my Reiki classes with Miss Elizabeth. And I pointed up, and I was like, gosh, she's right in that triangle. And then I also had somebody ask me, you know, who to take their psychic classes with.
Hmm.
So I've been working with a gentleman on getting out there and starting. And,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, you know, you got to look and see when Dr. Chuck is doing his Zero to Psychic.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was like, those are the two best people that I know to go and learn and take your classes from. But as I was doing that, I was like, yeah,
It's still that triangle
and how that energy was working for us all. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Chuck, let me ask you, I know some of us are getting back into seeing a lot of people very slowly. We're just taking our time and stuff. Are you going to gear up this year to teach your Zero to Psychic classes for the 2020 season?
I talked with the people at Miracles of Joy. That's usually where I teach. And they're still limiting the number of persons they'll have, you know, there literally to like 7 to 10, something like that. So I'm doing it all on Zoom. Anybody wants to, you know, I mean, I can do it anytime on Zoom. So I do have a class, but it's a Zoom class with Miracles. It's coming up next month. Excuse me, May 9th, I think.
Okay.
Right. But I can do it, you know, anytime.
How can they get a hold of you, Dr. Chuck?
How can they get in touch with you?
Chuck@chuckmurphy.me or zerotopsychic.com. I mean, that's pretty easy to remember. Either of those two ways works.
Okay. So it's next month. It's going to be May the 9th.
I believe that is correct. Let me look on the calendar here so I can. My memory is not what it used to be. No, it's not May 9th. It would be 14th, that's what it is.
Okay, May 14th?
Yeah, you can sign up through Miracles.
Okay, everybody can sign up through Miracles of Joy?
Joy, in Louisville, right.
is it miracles or messages?
Miracles.
No, it's miracles.
Miracles. Okay.
Miracles of joy.
I went back to the, never mind.
That was what it used
I'm
to
having
be called.
A day.
Yeah. That,
I'm having a day.
That's what it was
day.
Called before.
Okay.
About 25 years ago, but still.
Oh, my God. Has it been that long?
Yeah. That was when she was in the old store. This is before she moved to the new place.
Oh,
that
that's right. That's right. I forgot all about that.
Used to
okay.
be, I think, down on the square somewhere, I thought.
Oh, yeah, in Louisville, right by
of
the square.
Of course.
I used to, this is before I even got into it. Wow, that is a while ago. This is before I got into really being the psychic and do it because I was still mm-hmm. a makeup artist. And
yeah.
I used to go from the theater because I would do theater and makeup
yeah.
in there. And I'd go over there and look around while I was
yeah.
in between
right
shows.
Across the street, I think.
Yeah, right next to it. Yeah, right across the street or right next to it. Yeah.
Wow.
Same area, yeah.
Yeah,
so
I don't remember
I kinda,
exactly that.
Kind of
it was
didn't
in that
know
area,
you guys
right?
before I knew you guys, yeah.
I know I went to it in the early 90s because my mentor was Samantha Lawrence Key, and that's where she mm-hmm. read, was there. And so I would go with her when she was working, and I could just, you know, run around and look at stuff and play and whatever. But
right.
Anyway. Well, all right oh. then. I was going to... Dr. Chuck, I was going to ask you, is there anything that you want to mention about anything happened while you were there at the Shambhala Wellness Center? Is there anything that you want to mention before we get started in with
I
I'm going to ask?
Think, I worked about 5 pounds off, I think.
You can't afford that.
I don't think you can afford that, Dr. Chuck. I mean, seriously.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me call my doctor.
If you did eat one of those cookies, maybe four.
Yeah,
those cookies
were like, those added weight. Let's just leave it at that.
Oh, man.
They were dense. Dense. That's a good word.
Dense. I don't think we, did we have cookies upstairs?
Yes, we did. Chocolate chip.
You know,
we had chocolate
chip.
They were
you
lovely.
Tons of great fruit. It was really good.
It was good stuff. Well,
yeah.
we had brought all kinds of stuff this time. I mean, it was just jam-packed full of everything. Everybody had everything. Everybody was just totally happy.
8 readers. I think we had 8 readers. And she said everybody sold out. So, I mean, that's a lot of people.
It was. I mean,
we see 3 an hour. So that's 18 apiece times 8. My gosh, that's over 100 people.
It was. I mean, seriously, it was like one after another after another.
Exactly.
And fortunately, we had scheduled breaks because I know I needed mine, and I
yep.
only had 2. I think I wanted 2. She had asked earlier, how many breaks do you want? I said, well, I'd really kind of like to have 2 because I feel like I'm going to need more protein on this one. And sure enough, I did.
Yep.
You know?
She gave me 2 as well.
Snack and
yeah.
Yeah, I think 2 is just right.
2 worked out just really, really well. So.
Yeah.
But you,
and there was
you
a lot of
you,
new faces, not the same people back again. That's,
yeah,
I thought that was
exactly. Cool. That was awesome. It's always fun to see the people from before, but it's always fun to see the new faces because that means more and more people are going to come to the site to come and see us.
I like seeing
yeah.
the older faces too that were going up in energy.
Yeah.
You could see the shift and the change
right.
from the last
mm-hmm.
time we saw them.
Yeah.
You could see the work that they've done and the shifts that they've done.
Exactly.
It was really exciting to see those
mm-hmm.
changes too.
Yeah, I didn't want mine to sound like I didn't want them there. I did, but it was just amazing to see all these new faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well,
they don't really have
was...
anything like that then, you know, so I'm sure that's probably why it's catching on so good.
Mm.
But it was good. School was in.
Sorry
that
about
cool.
that.
Hey, it's okay.
I was just taking a drink. I thought, oh, now's my chance. Obviously not. Okay.
Yeah. It's like when you're a waiter, and they always come up when you have a mouthful and say, how's the food?
Exactly. Seriously.
I swear they're changing.
Do you
they're
need anything else? Sir? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a mouthful.
I used to work at Steak and Ale, which dates me, I know. But
oh,
I used
Steak
to work
and
there.
Ale.
We used to laugh about that. Wait till they get the biggest bite and then walk up. Hey, how's it going? Everything okay?
Yeah.
They're like,
wow. It was great. Thank you. Can I have some more bread, please?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The best bread ever. Oh.
Good stuff. Yeah. We would sit
it
in the back.
It was.
The manager would always come in and say, guys, leave stuff for the customers, would you?
No,
yeah.
no.
Yeah, we
oh, my God. That
was good stuff.
So good. It was so good. Well, all right. I'm going to go ahead and shift on over to Jenchella. Jen, I'm not going to play the music since you're not here. So we're just, if that's okay with
Aww.
You, we're just going to go ahead and, you want me to play the music for you? I can. Well, here, hold
it's
on.
Okay. I spent enough time dancing around. It's okay.
No, hold on. Just for you. Now live on stage from Ghost Talk, it is Jenchella.
Cinnamon on deck. No, I'm just kidding.
oh, it's a good thing we don't have cameras in here.
Hey. Oh, my goodness.
No hate. You do you. All right. So hoping everybody is having a great evening tonight. And
yes,
what I wanted to go over was some new equipment, and it is called the Flux 2 Paranormal. It is, you know, Marty, we need to save the world. Get to the clock tower. if anybody gets the flux capacitor joke, right?
The flux capacitor. yeah, Marty, yes, yes.
The
okay.
flux capacitor. Yeah, I haven't heard that in years.
The flux capacitor.
Yeah.
This
celebrating
really
40 years. Okay.
Wow.
So this equipment, please do tell.
It is called the Flux 2. It's provided by Ghost Stop. I am ordering one. I'm very excited to be getting this in. So what this device does is it has two highly sensitive infrared lasers, and you have one that's red and one that is green. And you can program however you would like to communicate with the spirit. So.
Wow.
Let's say that we're going into a site and we want to get some confirmation, yes or no, good or bad, female, male, you know, just basic questions, nothing really too detailed, you know, so it doesn't cause the spirit to have to emit too much energy to blow anything, but enough energy to get the message across.
Wow.
So every time that they say yes, the light will turn green. Anytime they say no, the light will turn red.
Oh, wow.
So it's very fascinating. And I realized, looking at that, you know, don't waste your money. But then I go, oh, you can do that with a flashlight. And I didn't think about that until afterwards. You can use a flashlight. You can set it down, ask the spirit from the other side, if this is a yes, can you turn the light on? And you can also use this with the, what we have affectionately labeled the cat toy,
right.
The little ball.
So
those don't have different types of, you know, ranges with the color, but this, I found this very fascinating. It's in a triangle shape, and it has a sound alert with scaling tones for clear audible indicators that will let you know whenever they're making communications.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
It's really great. I looked it up on the website and also on YouTube just to see if I could get a demonstration of it, and they do. So if you want to check out the Flux 2 by Ghost Stop, it really is truly a valuable piece, especially if we're going to be going out into the field. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to use this the next time that we head out to an investigation. I know right now I'm trying to get somebody in the Blue Ridge Leonard area to communicate and let me know if they have any needs for paranormal assistance. So we're just putting that out there. Anybody from that area, if you'd like to reach us, you can reach us at ghosttalk2020@gmail.com, or you can reach us on the Crossings Paranormal Research Facebook page.
Absolutely.
Yes. We're
so
here.
This device actually will alert us that somebody is there to, it gives an audible sound, in other words, right?
Right.
Yes, it does. Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like, I'm very auditory and I'm very visual, so I love anything that lights up and makes noise, aside from the flashlight. I mean, yes, we can use the flashlight, but I really like it because it's very distinct in the fact of if it's red, you know that's one answer. If it's green, you know that's the other answer. So I feel like that's really even more definitive than the flashlight, don't you guys?
Yeah, because sometimes spirit is kind of like on delay.
Yeah.
And they can't send their energy as fast as we ask the question.
Right. So, I love this. This is great.
Have you had any experience with those lights, the string of lights that work off EMF? Sort of like that. But they're more to track movement, I think. They're like if someone walks down the hall, they're like 20 feet long, so you can see the lights light up in sequence.
We use
light string or something like that. I can't remember.
We didn't use those
in
Gainesville.
We used that in Gainesville, didn't we?
No, it was the grid that we used.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
We did use the grid.
I forgot all about that. I was thinking it was the lights, but no. Now, the lights, I think we were going to use those at another location, and we had another piece of equipment that just took off. I think it was the...
What's her name? Mary? Martha? What was her name?
Jennifer, what was that lady's name that attached herself to you that was talking so much?
Barbara.
She used the REM pod to,
communicate.
That's right. And she was using the REM pod just, gosh.
It
was
so
crazy.
Well.
Yeah,
the REM pod was tried but true.
Yeah, and it was just absolutely spectacular. It really was. And she led Jennifer to all the different locations, all the different places, was talking about where she was. Every time Jennifer asked her a question, she immediately responded. She didn't talk too much to Luann or myself.
No.
But she definitely talked to Jennifer. I mean, it was just this amazing connection between the two.
It was like they bonded.
Seriously. And they bonded in the car got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yep.
Elizabeth and I knew what the name was. So we were quizzing Jennifer. We didn't tell her any information. Okay, so someone's here, Jennifer said, some woman. And I said, what's her name? And when she came out with Barbara, I thought that probably Elizabeth and I were going to fall out of the car.
Seriously. Because she was so connected to Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was just incredible. That was amazing. Well, all right. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much. I can't wait for you to get that piece of equipment. I mean, we may just have to go up there and just do our own investigation just to play with the equipment. I mean, I'm up for
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I know my grandmother will let us, but I don't know about the other people.
Well, we can always go to where your grandmother has some land. Where is it? Blue Ridge? Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Blue Ridge. Over out in Frognot.
Well, maybe if we go up there and do an investigation, then she'll spread the word and everybody will think, oh, maybe I want to do that too.
Well, at least if we could get some.
Oh, my grandmother can, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, okay. Maybe that's what we need to do is go up there and just, you know, practice with some of the equipment again and just see what's up there.
So I want to go back to the lights that you guys were talking about. It's like, it's like a string of almost like Christmas lights that you string out. And as you
know, it's like a big extension cord, and every 4 or 5 feet there's a light that either turns red, yellow, or green.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's just an EMF detector, but they come in, you can get 10 lights, 20 lights, or 30. I mean, they're really expensive. The 30 is like $300, I think.
That's just really interesting.
But if you have a long hallway and you want to see if something's walking up down the hallway, that's the way to do it because the lights will go out in sequence.
That's what I was seeing in my mind. Okay, so I'm with you there. That just sounds really interesting. If a spirit's walking through, they're triggering the lights going on.
Yeah. And you can literally see this comes light. On, this goes on, the forward and the forward motion, and you can see if they come back.
That is really fascinating.
It is.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
It's a new thing. I've only seen it pretty much on TV myself.
That would have been interesting in Gainesville. Because of that long hallway.
That's because you're talking about the long hallway. That would be.
Well, the grid, though, really showed a lot, though. I mean, it came to be very valuable. It was a very valuable tool. Because you two caught quite a bit, right, Luann?
Yes, but what we were focusing on as we left it was anything coming or going out of the ceiling. And we never saw it. We never saw anything.
Okay, so I just looked it up. It's 36 feet long. It costs $230, and it's called the Tripwire.
Tripwire.
You go to ghosthunter.com, it's on there.
Okay. And we want to make sure.
12 foot with 10 lights or 36 foot. No, that's not right. Yeah, 36 foot with the lights 3 feet apart.
Okay.
And then the color of the light from violet to red tells you how close and how strong the spirit is.
How strong the energy. Wow. That's fascinating.
Isn't it?
I mean,
yeah.
We used to use
you guys said, the cat lights and some of those little EMF sentries, but they just lit up one color. And, you know, it's kind of like how remember when the space race started, the Americans spent like $3 million with Parker Penn to get a pen that would write zero gravity.
Right.
The Russians,
that's right. Yeah.
They solved the problem. They used a pencil. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, why spend that much money when you can use a pencil?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So there's a lot of different ways to do the same thing. Some are just more flashy and fun.
Right. I do like the flashlight, but I really love this idea of the red and the green because it just seems to me, it's just my opinion, much more definitive.
Yeah,
you know this is, yes,
you
no.
know that's red and that is green. I mean, seriously, that's going to let
one
you know.
One yes, one's no. I
exactly.
Like
well,
it's
speaking
interesting
of,
the way they took that grid and combined three different sensors to create the one presentation. You know, it shows you where it is, how strong it is, and if it's moving. Plus, puts a grid up there so you can see it.
And it was a fascinating moment. I mean, seriously, and it covered that entire space. It was really great for the hallway. Because it covered that entire space, the ceiling, the walls, the floor, it covered it all. And if there was anything moving at all, you would see it.
Yeah. When we first, got it, I used one of those dustbusters so we could walk all the way down the hall and just drop the dustbuster in front of it to see if it would read it. Boy, it picked it up every time.
Really?
Yeah, the grid, when it interrupted the grid, it would go, oh, there's something over there moving. It did get an EMF reading from it, but it definitely picked up the movement. As soon as you break two boxes, you got to break two boxes.
Oh, of course. Right.
And you know where the technology came from? Came from an Xbox. So.
Yes, that much I did know. Right. I mean,
that is our favorite technology in this house.
Hey, I love it.
It tells you how advanced the silly toys were. I mean, they were pretty spot on, leading edge, you know.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot we can learn from so-called toys that really aren't toys.
No.
Where they start out as toys and they become something that's really a valuable tool. So
exactly.
I think it has a lot of value. Well, now that we're talking about Gainesville, so Luann, you were thinking about you actually came up with the blessing?
Well, now, we consulted Chuck and Mari.
Right.
And they both kind of, you know, we decided on things that should go into a offering for the Native Americans.
Yes, correct.
Something to honor your ancestors.
Yes.
Something to let them know we're here now and we're going to take care of this land. So some of the things we... Native Americans or Indigenous people, as some like to be called, they really feel like they're the caretakers of the land. They don't own it, but they care for it, the land, and therefore the land takes care of them.
Right.
They're always thankful to Mother Earth. They have gratitude, unconditional love, thankfulness, and they express it every morning. So Native American teaching describes animals, fish, trees, and rocks as our brothers, sisters, uncles, fathers, grandfathers. So they also feel that those things are very important to life as they know it. And tobacco, which is one thing that we suggested for the offering, was a gift from one of their gods, Winnebojo or Boho. It solicits the spirit for acts of kindness or to give thanks for past favors. And they consider a gift of tobacco as a sign of respect. The other thing we put in the offering was turquoise. I put turquoise chips in there.
Right.
Turquoise, Native Americans associate that with communication, with spirit, good fortune, and healing. They also feel it is a portal to promote positive energy, a symbol of happiness, self-confidence. It protects you from negativity, protects them from harm, especially during battles. And there's the legend is to wear, to honor the world we came from before, in other words, the spirit world.
Right.
It is not yours, but put in your care, the right. turquoise. So I wanted to ask you, I know that you came, I think you watched a video.
Yeah, it was a Navajo, it's actually on YouTube. It's a Navajo teacher who's trying to teach his native language, which is Navajo. He's trying to teach that to anyone who will listen to what he has to say. And one of his shows talked about turquoise. Well, of course, that immediately got my attention. And he said, from the Navajo aspect, if you have turquoise, do not go and purchase it yourself. It needs to be a piece that is given to you from someone else to give you the gift of communication, give you the gift of speech, to give you the gift of telling the truth, those kinds of things. And the added bonus was to have it encased in silver. And the reason for that is so that other spirits would see you and recognize you as one of them. And if they see the turquoise with the silver, it says, hey, I'm also a member as well. And they will, it would be that they would more readily speak to you because of that. But it has to be turquoise that's given to you.
And that kind of started the whole turquoise and silver jewelry rage long, long time ago. Because
exactly.
What the original jewelry was made by the Navajos in southern Arizona. And they were collecting this turquoise from a mine where they were doing some mining,
mm-hmm.
but the turquoise was considered a throwaway. Nobody knew the value of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they were just uh-huh. pushing it out of the mine in piles, and the Navajo were going to collect it
mm-hmm.
and using it in jewelry. Well, once they saw what they were doing, then they decided, yeah, it's probably worth something, so they quit throwing it away. But that's really how the Navajo started the turquoise and silver jewelry.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I guess I know what we're getting everybody for Christmas.
Well, you know, if you find a piece that you really like, there's always ways that you can, you know, tell someone, hey, this is really something that I like. And if it, you know, if it's purchased for me, I'm sure you'll get a refund. You'll get a blessing back in money, I'm sure, you know, that kind of thing. But it also represents the fact that, you know, of all the things that all of us in radio need, all of us need a piece of turquoise because it is that representation of being able to communicate your most heartfelt pieces of truth that you can give to.
You mean
to
like this one I'm spinning in my fingers?
Absolutely, something like that.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because every piece of turquoise jewelry that I have or that it was given to me,
mm-hmm.
my grandmother had it, whatever, it always was wrapped in silver. And that I never knew, I love silver, so I just didn't think of that, but mm-hmm. I never could figure out why it was all in silver. Now, that is fascinating.
Well, I was looking through some of my mom's old jewelry the other day, and I came across a turquoise ring encased in silver.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would work just as well because mother said, you know, this, everything I have that, you know, is yours. So that would be her way of giving me something from that particular culture, which I probably should wear all the time. And, you know, it's like, duh, what was I thinking?
Sometimes we're not thinking.
I'm
about
not.
Those,
yeah, right. For sure. Dr. Chuck, do you have any turquoise? Do you use when you're doing readings? What do you keep with you?
I keep a couple big chunks of quartz. I don't have any. It's funny when you said that, I was thinking, do I have any turquoise with silver? I used to have a silver ring that had a turquoise cross in it years ago, and I have no idea what happened to that. But
wow.
No, I don't have any. So all of those making their Christmas list early.
now you know what.
If it's
get.
On the right hand, it's an 11. On the left hand, it's 11 and a half. So
exactly.
Just throwing it out there.
Okay, so that's 11 on the right.
And 11 and a half on the left.
And 11 and a half on
actually,
the left.
I said that backwards. Pardon me. I'm sorry.
Okay, so and I need to rewrite this. So that's the right.
Yeah, 11 on the left, 11 and a half on the right.
Well, that makes sense. 11 on the left. It's 11 on the left.
Well, he's
right.
Probably right-handed.
Well, yeah,
I
that'd
am.
Be 11 and a half.
Yes.
Okay. I better put your name on there, Chuck. Turquoise.
Okay, now he knows what his game.
Thrive!
Yay!
Hey!
So one of the other offerings we put in this bag or this offering
yeah.
packet was sage. Native Americans consider it sacred because of its healing properties. It was also used by burning to perform spiritual cleansing or blessing with the intention of ridding one of unwanted influences. And, of course, we all know we use it to do house clearings and a myriad of other things.
Yes.
Like
oh,
cleansing
exactly.
spray.
Oh. Now, you know what? Somebody asked me the other day, so you're right on spot on with this. Why does sage work? What is it, sage, that makes energies go away?
Because it's considered sacred.
Sage is considered sacred.
Okay, so there's many different
and it's
types
they go,
of sage.
Sage, get on out of here.
Now, she was asking about white sage grown on a tribal
yes.
land.
Yes, white sage is the most common one used. It's the one that's also becoming, I think that's Jen making all that noise. Stop that.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Don't
I
try
dropped,
to do the dishes and
I
talk on
it.
The radio at the same time.
Okay, so I was doing a cord cutting earlier, and I totally knocked over the pan I had it sitting on.
Okay, well, apparently it's over and
so
done.
My bad, I am so sorry.
Somebody's going to
no,
get
no.
a refund, it sounds like.
Surprise. It didn't work. No.
It's like all those people
that
did those,
that?
What is it, those freezing spells where you put something in a bottle and freeze it, and then your freezer goes out. You're like, oh, no. Oh, my God.
No, absolutely. Yes.
Quick,
I've released the hounds from hell.
Okay. The hounds only nibble a little.
Wow. Well, so I don't even – where were we?
Where were we? White sage.
I don't know. We lost
white
it.
Sage.
White
the
sage.
One, yes.
White
one
sage.
White sage. In New Mexico, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and the different areas that the Native Americans, of course, they were everywhere before Mr. Jackson decided to drive them. President Jackson decided to drive them to Oklahoma, but it was just native. It's white sage is native
yeah.
to most every state.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, especially the
really?
Arid ones.
Mm-hmm. White sage is native to almost every state.
Yes, but the problem is not the ones that are super cold, but the problem is we've over
harvested
it, and wild harvesting has almost made it endangered. So you have to be very careful that what you purchase is purchased in a sustainable, is grown in a sustainable manner. Because now it's becoming
sparse. I'll help you with the big words.
Unattainable. Unattainable.
Unattainable.
So you have to be careful. But you can substitute, I think the other sage is called blue sage.
Blue sage.
I've
you
never
can
heard of blue sage.
I think it is blue sage.
But originally it was all, everything was white sage.
Is it actually blue?
It has a blue tint to it.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to imagine it in my head. And you're right. It is blue sage.
But the white sage is the one, it looks, when you look at it from a distance,
yeah.
it just looks like it's covered in white.
Is that fuzz or fur or?
It's
just part of it. It makes it look.
It's part of the leaf.
Gotcha.
It makes it feel furry.
Next kind of. On Herbal Lou Apothecary.
Oh, yeah.
So the other
it kind of looks powdered.
Yeah, yes, that's it. Thank you, Jen.
But they are extensions, kind of like hairs on the leaves, similar to hair. On
oh,
the
wow. It is soft to the touch.
Yes, it's very soft.
It almost
velvety.
That's the word
velvety.
I was going to use, velvety.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, I have a question for you. Have you done this on your show? Have you talked about sage on your show?
I thought I had, but maybe I haven't. Guess
well,
I should.
I have to go back through your records.
I don't. Yeah.
We probably need to check that out because that would really, I would really like to.
I'm getting, I have 12 months under my belt now, so 12 shows under my belt.
Well, congratulations to you. That
yes,
is awesome.
Yay.
I remember what my first show
yay.
Was.
Yay.
Well,
yeah.
I called
okay,
for a drink.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Whiskey sour.
Chuck's the head of the game.
I believe
that
calls for it.
When we're done.
I believe that it, there's a scotch in your future. I'm psychic. I don't know. Could it be?
Must be psychic.
Okay. okay.
The next item for our little offering was feathers. Now, I just used the feather that I had decorated. However, feathers to the Native Americans signify connection between the person and the creator. It symbolizes high honor, power, wisdom, trust, strength, freedom. Feathers are gifts from the sky. Different feathers represent different aspects, such as if you had an eagle feather, it would be the bravest and the strongest. So each feather, and I found so many, I can't list them here, has a certain meaning to the American Native Americans. And that feathers you use for this offering really should be found or given. And not purchased.
It goes back to the same thing as the turquoise.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it also goes in conjunction with when they were talking about sharing with other people,
mm-hmm.
the gift of smoking the pipe.
The tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the tobacco was considered given, if you give it, it's considered a form of respect.
Exactly.
So we took a square of fabric. And a natural fiber is recommended, such as cotton, but it can be anything. And make sure it's big enough to accept all of your offerings and be tied, to be able to tie it up.
Right.
So we included loose tobacco, turquoise chips, sage, a feather, and like I said, it's preferably a feather, a found feather, especially from your property, that would be optimum, and not something you go out and pluck from a bird.
Right.
We included a quartz crystal to amplify our intention.
Right.
A small vial of whiskey, because that's what they considered after, that was a part of their trade, whiskey. When people were trading with the Native Americans, they traded whiskey because that became very popular, like the 1860s.
Right.
And any item of special meaning to you, you could include a smoking pipe or plants native to your area. You know, lots of things. Or salt to represent the earth.
Didn't you put salt in there or Himalayan salt?
Himalayan salt.
Yeah.
But because the people that we had been talking with really didn't, this was kind of unplanned, we didn't give them a chance to pick out something unique to them. And they were supposed to do that and add it to the offering.
Well, I think that whole situation was unique just in of itself. So where that was laid next to that tree.
Mm-hmm. So we put all that in the little – now, the whiskey was in a vial that was sealed.
Right.
Just a very small one that only carried probably about a half an ounce or less.
Yeah, very small.
Yeah.
You tie up the offering and then bury it at the base of the main tree in your yard.
And didn't you tell them the owners that had to do that?
Yes. They had to assemble it. They had to tie it up. They had to add something special to it.
Right.
And Dr. Chuck, do you remember where the information came about burying it at the base of a tree?
The case that I remember, that tree was actually part of one of their ceremonies. It was their prayer tree. And so we put the offering there to show we respected the tree, and we were going to get an arborist to help, you know, restore it back to health and whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's why we put it there. But usually if you can find an area that's sacred to whatever tribe was there, you know, that has some sort of elemental tie to it, that's where we like to put them.
Well, and because this was at a client's property, we just asked them to plant it at the base of either the biggest tree or the one at their front door.
Sure. Well, we know that they say, you know, trees, we don't need to spend time going through all the how they're connected and what they represent and all that. But the indigenous tribes always respected trees. You know, I mean, they had teepees. They wouldn't cut down trees to make houses. They respected
correct.
Them.
Right. Well, exactly. As they did everything, because they felt like that they were the caregivers of the earth and everything included. So we
they would eat the animals, yes, you know, people to survive, but then they wouldn't waste the skin. They would turn the skin into the, you know, the material they used to make the teepees and stuff.
They
actually
and
they
used every part of the animal, too.
So they used every part of the animal. And, my friend, grew up in Michigan, when I was younger, but their family, they would bless the animals because a lot of deer hunting and stuff up there, but they would bless all the animals and thank them. And and like you said, they used every piece of the animal in some way or form.
And I think that's what the Native Americans did too. You know, it was once they killed the animal, you know, thank you for feeding our family, blah, blah.
Right. They used the skin for clothing, for drum heads, for teepees. They used the bones to make, the beater that, you know, you use on a drum, and I don't know, they had a whole bunch of other uses.
Well,
so,
and they
nothing
used it
was
as tools.
Wasted.
Yeah,
lots of tools from the bone.
Right.
Yeah.
And they also used them to, they were like a real button of some sort so that things could be attached with the bones and stuff.
And they would use them as gifts, you know, I mean, they'd decorate them and carve out of them.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I saw lots of, they're not called hieroglyphs, but basically that's what it is, symbols of the Native Americans that were used to symbolize honor and courage and spirituality. So we also wanted the people who did this to offer words of respect, assuring the ancestors that you will honor and care for the land that you have.
Right.
Because we were trying to, there was a disturbance there, and this is a highly active area where the Native Americans, even after the Trail of Tears, where they were living in 1850s, 1860s, in proximity of Gainesville. So I did find, I don't know if you want to call it a poem or prose or what, but it was like, honor the sacred, honor the earth, our mother. Honor the elders, honor all with whom we share the earth, four-legged, two-legged, winged ones, swimmers, crawlers, plants, and rock people, walk in balance and beauty. And that was anonymous Native American elder. They didn't even know who came up with that. So
that
I thought that one. Yeah, it does. That was very appropriate.
Wow.
And spirituality was so important to the indigenous tribes that they don't really understand why we don't get it. They're like, you know, why don't you understand what a gift this is and what a miracle and, you know, how precious the earth is. And, I just read something the other day where he was a Canadian Indian. I can't think of the life of me what the name of his tribe was. Anyway, he was making the point that the oil is actually, you know, that we're pumping every day by the gazillions of barrels, that's actually the lifeblood of the planet. And at some point it's going to be depleted, and he's predicting the whole planet's going to die. So I don't know. That we should be, it was actually trying to promote solar and free energy, but he was taking that angle, you know, in his argument. It was fascinating because I never thought of it that way.
Well, I don't know how many tons or thousands of ancient animals were pressurized under the earth.
Yes.
That actually made the oil. So
oil is the byproduct of biological decay. Right. So, you know, who knows what you're pumping? You can be pumping a dinosaur. You can be pumping a guy next door. You never have, you know, who knows? They try to make it sound like it's all the grass or the greenery, but, oh, it's way more than that. That's not what we're
yeah.
That's part of it, but it's not all of it. So then you ask the question, so what was here all those millions of years ago that has made all this oil? Where did that come from? How did it get there? It had to be biological material that was that decayed and that was put under great pressure to cause the oil. Isn't that weird?
Well,
I never thought about that.
I'm thinking dinosaurs, and I'm thinking mammoths and all kinds of things
people.
Like that that died.
My wife is always going Soylent Green. I'm telling you, that's what it is.
All these people.
Yeah.
Well, there, in many, many places, there were no coffins or anything along those lines, or people were wrapped up in burlap bags or just buried without anything and just left to go back into the dust from which they came. Supposedly.
Yes, exactly.
Well, one of the theories that somebody was talking about, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it's just something interesting to think about, is the fact of using up the oil that is in the earth creates, or would it create, enormous caves that would not be able to sustain inhabitant weight on top. And they're
well,
talking
supposedly
about
they fill them. They as they pump the oil out, they fill it with either. Matter of fact, they store natural gas that way, but they fill it with like a slurry, which is sort of an oil. I mean, sort of a water dirt kind
salt
of muddy
water
mix. So as they pump out the oil, they fill the space. Supposedly, if I understood it right, they refill it with this slurry that they make.
It's a salt water mix.
Yeah,
it's a salt
I think that's what you're right. It is.
Yes,
it's
it
some
is
kind
a
salt of
saltwater
yucky mix.
You just be talking to this country girl that knows all about it.
I'm impressed. I'm duly impressed.
So would that create sinkholes?
Well, supposedly as the hole is pumped out, the oil's pumped out, they refill it with the slurry. So there's still liquid in there to support it. That's, you know, what they say. I don't know. I'm not a seismologist or a geologist, so.
And I'm not either. But, you know, that's some of the thought behind, like, the huge sinkholes they have in Florida.
Yeah.
They're thinking that, you know, that oil is pumped out and not properly replaced with a slurry, so.
Or the right kind.
Or the right kind.
I mean,
they have a swamp there, which tells you something about where the water table is. You know, I mean, it's right
yeah.
there.
Seriously.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's just, I mean, Well, let me,
something to think about, huh?
Yeah.
So we digress.
Wow. It made me think, because I was going, so I'm pumping old people, like people that died 10,000 years ago?
Does that explain why our cars are so sluggish?
Maybe, you know.
It's
and
like,
why
okay,
am I
what kind of old person
a
is in my truck? Like, oh, my God, you had no energy, obviously, at all.
Well, yeah.
What's amazing is I have never in all my lifetime really stopped and thought, where does the oil come from?
Well, how many millions of years ago did the dinosaur die? Did the big woolly mammoth die? It took thousands and thousands and thousands of years for the earth to put all that under pressure to produce the oil.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
An old person fueling my truck. That explains it all.
No wonder Mother Nature is bipolar.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No
kidding.
She's having menopausal moment because she's losing all this valuable resource.
Wow.
This sounds terrible, but she's losing her nutrients as we just put people in concrete boxes and bury them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
that's
you know,
that sounds really morbid and gross.
Well, no, that is something, well, you know, in some places you cannot be buried because there's no land. There's no land.
Yeah.
There's no place to put a vault to put you in the ground.
That's and a lot of the states up north that are smaller, you're correct. There's no ground.
There's no ground.
There is no ground. I mean, there's no, and if you die in the winter, you have to wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
My dad's cousin is a grave digger, and that's,
you have to
in
wait.
The wintertime, he doesn't work. And
because
right as the land's starting to thaw is when they start digging. Because
some of those places can freeze 6 feet deep.
Yes.
Good grief.
Yeah. And it's crazy to think that the energy we need to run the planet, we have the technology now to get it for free. It's just everybody's holding it up, you know?
I am just astounded at the idea that you can have so many deserts and no one is really taking advantage of the solar energy idea to be used from something that is so natural.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that takes us all the way back to Luann saying the earth is provided everything you need. The energy you need is there. You just, you're going about it the wrong way.
And that's what the Native Americans, I think that was their shock and awe when they found themselves isolated in Arizona, Oklahoma, New Mexico, that then the resources were just being taken over instead
And,
and it
was
just not hospitable land either. It was not, you know, you had to really be strong to survive in those kinds of climates and conditions as well.
Sure. Especially if you were used to living in Florida, then they just move you to some place, you know, in Montana. It's like, what?
Yeah, that was pretty drastic and in some places or in some cases going through Oklahoma, there was the freeze. And a lot of the people died because they couldn't handle being in the outside elements without any protection.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. Well, like you said, Dr. Chuck, it's all about going back to the original source of everything that you need is literally here on the planet.
Right.
Or coming to us from the sun.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not going solar tomorrow. I'm not getting rid of my car. But I'm just saying, when you... What was that? I'm just saying, you know, if you think about it, life probably would have progressed in a different direction, but it might have been a much better place.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, all right. Thank you, Lou, Anne.
You're so welcome.
I did not mean to interrupt your name into two syllables. Sorry about
that. And Luann, you need to give yourself a plug for your herbal concoctions.
Well, absolutely. Talk about that for a second.
Well, the one that Carrie uses 24/7, and I gave her 8 ounces this last time. The clearing spray is made with witch hazel, sage, and an orange flavor called bergamot. And I fill it with Reiki energy, and it has a quartz in it, of course, to amplify its effects.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely my favorite clearing spray ever that I've used.
And it will
can I ask a technical question?
Yes.
Do you know, is that a selective purgative, or is it a non-discriminatory, if you know what I mean? Like, sage is non-discriminatory. It gets rid of everything, whereas Florida water, that really seemed to affect the more positive spirits, just the negative ones.
What I have it designed to affect is negative energy.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like with what you were describing. It sounded a lot like Florida water, actually.
Yeah, it's really more about deflecting or absorbing negative energies or energies that have gone wonky, shall we say?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a technical word.
It works. Because that's what I would call it. That's what I would
capitalize it and put it in quotes and it looks technical.
I would call it gone wonky.
Well, Carrie, you use it all the time.
I use it every day.
Yeah.
We the apartment that we happen to live in, they're doing a lot. It's been taken over by a new company. And so they're doing a lot of building and fixing up things. And we just happen to be right in Grand Central Station of people walking up and down, going up and down that hallway all day long. So I go out there every night after hours and I spray and get that out there, clear that energy out, especially around our door.
Right.
You know, and then right outside our door around the corner, they're doing a lot of stuff. The mailboxes are right there. So I'll go, sometimes I'll go once a week, I'll go down there and I'll just go around those mailboxes and kind of clear up the energy and just get it kind of balanced. But I have noticed if I'm not careful, people like to stop right in my area.
Well,
so
you know why.
I'm getting it too comfortable and too clear and saying, oh, here's a happy clear space to come.
Yeah.
Come hang out here.
Of course.
Hang out by my mailbox. It's
yeah,
the nicest
seriously.
Place on the whole property.
Yeah,
so nice.
So hang out right here. Yeah. So I've been putting, you know, this. You want to, so I've been going down further with it. So that's why the bigger bottle. And then plus, when I do go out and do my work, I still keep the little bottle that I had. So I pour some of that in there, and then I carry that in my bag. So, but that is the one thing. The spray is the one thing that I do not ever. I don't think it's always with me.
Well, I originally designed it to use at readings to kind of clear people's aura or clear their negativity before they sit down for reading.
Mm-hmm.
But as Carrie has established, it really helps with spaces.
And that's what we use when we go to bless buildings.
We do because people don't want smoke.
That was one thing that I always found was negative with a sage bundle is it set off the smoke alarm or grandpa was in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
To me, it has the effect on it is just as great. I don't think I've used my sage. I use my sage bundle on New Year's because I did a really good, hefty clean it. So I did my sage bundle then, but then I also went behind and did the spray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm redoing my web pages right now, so I'm sure it's on there, but it's herbalu.com, herbal-lu.com. But if it's not there, my telephone
number
is.
Hold on a second, Jen.
And my email and my phone number is there. If it's,
we'll give her a phone number.
Oh, 214-662-6032, and if you text me and tell me I heard you on Make It So Network, you might know there might be a discount in for it.
Ooh,
I like that.
Ooh, that's nice. So when is your show?
Oh, now that's the one thing that's not on Wednesday. It's on the first Tuesday of the month.
First Tuesday of the month.
At noon.
Tuesday at noon.
You can always listen to the.
It's a great show to listen to on the way to work or on the way home.
Yeah,
because
it's only about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you have not listened to what last week's, the oregano.
Holy cow.
Wayne says, so what should I talk about next? And I was like, let's do oregano. Or you had said something about oregano. I was like, yeah, that sounds good. But man, was I shocked at some of the stuff that oregano.
Yep.
Is purposeful for.
Yeah, and when I do research, even for Crossings Paranormal, when I do research, I always find something where I go, no kidding.
Yeah, it's always something new to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even in this business, you know, with the paranormal, there's always a new toy coming out.
It's like I listen to Herbal Lou, I listen to Lou, and I'm like, man, I didn't know that could do that. And then I listen to Dr. Chuck, and I was like, wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And my eyes don't glass over. Well, sometimes I do because you get a little fancy on me. But my eyes don't glass over because you're talking at my level.
Good. Well, that's what we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And my level is kindergarten, so we're good.
Hey, I'm right there with you. When we get too technical, it's like, okay, now I'm trying to figure out what was that word, and I forget.
Yes, and I try to say, you know, I'm going to give you the genus and the species because I'm a scientist and you've got to have it.
And you are a scientist. That's
and then
true.
Most people are like, blah, 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 scientific.
We have our own scientist.
But if you, it's like anything else. If you have the genus and the species, then you know exactly what plant you're getting.
Exactly.
Okay, on to the next now. Yeah, okay,
we lost Elizabeth on that one.
Okay,
eyes glass over.
Carrie and I are looking at each other going, yeah, well, okay, now we're going into science.
Let her right into it.
Hey, thank you so much. Jennifer, you had mentioned something earlier about what Louie had mentioned to you about what candles? You were talking about
using birthday candles.
Yes. Now, before that, I use Luann's clearing spray at work because it's safe. It doesn't cause any allergens. And I work around people who are coming into a doctor's office because we have so many people come in. So it is a safe product to use. You can use it if you're in a place that has a lot of traffic through people coming in for emotional experiences or for anything that they're having done and corrected on their body. And that's where I found it very useful. And I have a little bottle of it because the bergamot is, like, my favorite. Okay. But, yeah, that's also a place you can use it, and it doesn't set any alarms off. It doesn't alarm people. And it smells really good, and I get a lot of compliments on your scent. So
I'm shocked
fabulous,
at how close the recipe matches Florida water. I mean, it really does. Oh.
It's not as strong as Florida. I think that's why I like it. It's because the Florida water, it kind of triggers my husband's allergies. But with this, it's not. It's actually helping his allergies, I think.
Well, Florida water is alcohol-based, and this is not.
That's okay. That makes sense.
And Florida water is actually used as an aftershave.
Yes.
So it has to have the alcohol in it as well. I mean, it is.
Well, see, that's the way I look at it. So, well, hey, if there's no ghosts here, at least I smell good.
Yeah.
Right? It smells like aftershave. Yeah. Real nice.
Yeah, it smells really good, but for some reason it triggers allergies in him. So I have to kind of tone it down.
Well, anybody that has COPD or has lived with people that have had COPD, no, you cannot burn incense. You know, you have to be very careful with any kind of spray. I don't care what it is. And this particular spray that Luann has created does not trigger. Anything she created did not trigger my mom's COPD or her allergies or anything along those lines. So, you know, it's all natural based.
Yeah.
Which is what we would do if we were going to an investigation. It's all natural stuff. So you don't have to worry about us bringing chemicals or anything of a, you know, pollutant.
Hazardous.
We have no hazard materials and we have no pollutants for the atmosphere as well.
Exactly.
I know. Kind of technical.
And Luann's one of Luann's gifts is she shared with me when you're doing a cord cutting ritual, which she can go and explain that after this. But she said you can use birthday candles if you do not have spell candles or larger pillar candles. And I call it being a brouhaha on a budget. So, I use brouhaha on a budget. So I use birthday candles for my ritual because it was for personal. It wasn't for anybody, you know. But yeah, it was very helpful. Luann's kind of ushering me into the ways.
Well, it's your intention.
It is. It's the intention.
What is the intention of this candle? You need it to do a certain thing. You ask it and program it to do a certain thing, and then it has to burn out all to the bottom.
And birthday candles are the best because they're
also
fast.
And you don't have to watch it for 8 hours. You don't have to extinguish it. You don't have to start it again tomorrow.
Then it's the right color.
Correct.
You don't have to go to every dollar store in the state of Texas to find a blue candle.
Correct.
You just get a box of multicolored birthday candles. And,
and there you have it.
And
that's
you
your intention.
The appropriate color for what you're doing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, my lights just shut off as we're talking about that.
Get out of candles, all I can say. And you better have some protection spray, right? That's a joke, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's not a joke. You see me out here? I'm over here.
I wonder if that would does that work if you have an ex coming by for a birthday celebration?
Would that work?
People know better than they're at my house.
Especially if they're negative,
why not?
You know. Should work.
Why not?
It's your intention.
Yeah.
What is your intention? Spray it on him or spray it as he comes through. Here, everybody's getting a spray today.
Well, actually, if you had one of those situations where you felt like there was something bothering you or coming, you know, from a paranormal experience, you could do the same thing. It's your intention.
Yes. Well, I've seen a salt boundary
place
that's kept exes away or troublesome partners. They'll come up to the front of the house. They, I mean, this is what I've been told. they'll approach the house, but they won't. You'll say, "Come on in." They'll go, "No, I think I'll just wait out here," because they put a salt boundary around the house, or you know, right there by the doorway.
Who needs a salt boundary when you've got a debt boundary?
Yeah,
that can be done.
Like, you know,
well,
they owe you money. They can just be like, "Well, I'm not coming around."
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Because the salt is the salt is put down as a boundary for negative entities, living or dead.
Well, one of the things that has been brought to my attention is the fact there really needs to be Himalayan sea salt, because regular salt actually has been discovered to have little traces of plastic in it because there's so much plastic around.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So I always use the
Oh, that is so
salt.
Sad.
Yep. It's,
you use Himalayan, right?
Himalayan sea salt.
I think either one, kosher Himalayan.
Either one.
Yeah.
Rock salt.
You know, this is from the department of who really gives a flip, but do you know why? Do you know salt is the reason that witches have brooms? That's where it all came from. Because when a witch would set up a ceremony or prepare a ceremony, she would draw a circle of salt all around, big enough to hold whoever was going to be there to celebrate it. And then there was a little space about 2, 3, 4 feet that was left with no salt. And that's where you entered the circle. And the salt was a protective boundary for those while they performed the ceremony or whatever. And so what she would do is she'd lay her broom or besom, across that opening while they did the ceremony. And then when the ceremony was over, she'd take the broom away, everybody leave, and she'd use the broom to go around and sweep the salt circle away.
Well, you know, that's why people, jump the broom? They have the ceremony of being married, and they jump over the broom as if to jump into a new life with their partner.
And that was
a new life circle.
Before hand fasting.
Yes.
And then hand fasting came along.
Yes.
So, you know. I mean,
it's fascinating when you really realize where all these different things came from. They came from such logical and simple roots, I guess you'd call it.
Well, a lot of witches were actually herbalists.
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's because they knew. Now, I'm telling you right now, my grandmother could make the best cough syrup in the world, and I would fake having a cough just so I could have a little sip of it, because she used sugar, she used honey, she used lemon juice, and she used whiskey. And you mixed it
you put an olive in, you know?
Well, yeah, but no, not this.
Okay, let's think about it. The whiskey, the alcohol numbed your throat.
Yeah.
The sugar coated your throat.
Yeah.
And so did the honey. And the honey is an antibacterial and an antiviral.
Oh, that's right, it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the lemon is the same thing. It's acidic. And it goes after bacteria.
Oh, man, go after that bacteria.
So that it's logical what she put together.
Yeah, and, you know, that was just not something she – once she learned that recipe, I mean, it was something that we all had
coughed. Right. Well, hey, to throw the Native Americans back in here for Luann, they actually used honey when they would root plants. They'd take cuttings from plants to propagate. They would dip the part that's going to go into the soil, they would dip that in honey because, it, like you said, it coats it and it's a bacteria, antibacterial to protect the new cut.
In that respect, it's also antifungal because you're putting it in the ground where there's no light. That's where the roots grow. So a fungus can develop on those roots.
Exactly.
So you use honey for that purpose.
I just tried this out because not too long ago, Stan had given me some roses, and I had seen something where you take the dip it, the stem in honey, and then you plant it.
Yes.
And it will grow another plant.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried that out. It's not growing anything just yet, but I'll let you know.
Can't you take roses and stick them in potatoes?
Yes, that's a method of propagation.
Yeah. You could also dissolve a standard aspirin. Not the coated kind, but just the straight aspirin. And then dip them in that water, one cup of water to one aspirin, and then do the same thing. The honey is the one that I thought, you know, was the most practical because it coats it.
Yeah,
it coats it.
That makes sense, though.
It keeps out things that might attack the roots.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, aspirin is just willow tree bark. So
correct.
Again, it's natural.
Really?
Yes. Aspirin comes from willow, a particular genus and species of willow.
Right.
There's so much we
don't
just
ask me to pronounce
here.
The. You know.
I know, but
I have a hard enough time just saying salicylic acid. I think it's one of the.
I may be taking us down another path here, but okay. So, with an aspirin, if the natural aspirin that we're talking about is a willow bark, how come that upsets so many people's stomach, and why we have buffered now?
Well, it's because it's so strong, it actually eats away at the actual lining of your stomach.
God, okay, that makes sense.
You're taking too much, or you know, they buffer it like that, so it waits. It doesn't dissolve until it actually. This is really getting technical, I know, but it doesn't dissolve until it gets into your intestinal tract. But your intestines can handle it; your stomach can't, or some people.
Stomach's not breaking it down
because originally people just chewed the willow bark, and so they were not getting the concentrated aspirin that's in the little tablets.
Okay, yeah.
So
why...
now that we're all sophisticated and have medication in the tablet, it's very concentrated. And
yeah, back in the day, if you said I had a headache,
gotcha.
The chief or the medicine man for the tribe would go out to a willow tree, cut off a branch and say, here, chew this, and you'd feel better.
Yes.
Right.
Which is why they created Bufferin.
Exactly. Because it
and remember the name of the active ingredient is salicylic acid. It's an acidic on the pH scale.
On the willow bark and the acid and the stomach breaking it down.
I did two shows on that one.
Yeah, that is fascinating to me because I always wondered if it's a natural medication, why do we have buffered? And why does it hurt so, you know, people's stomachs when you're taking the natural?
Well, some people, you know, like some people can have, I don't know, this is probably a bad example, but one person can have a beer and be fine, and somebody else could have it, and they'd be like, whoa, what's going on, man? Dude, I love you, brother. You know, so it's just everybody's body reacts differently to it.
That's why I tell people every time I do a show, everybody's reaction to the same herb is not the same. Because our bodies are all different.
Right.
Yeah. Elizabeth and I tried ashwagandha. She could not tolerate it at all.
Oh, God. It was like, oh, my God, that's the worst thing I have ever taken.
So you would have to steer her in the direction of valerian or passion flower.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I'm going to be steered over there either.
Well,
however.
Tell them what comes from the valerian plant. That's Valium or Percocet.
See, right? I don't do well with that.
But a lot of people do not understand that it's like the foxglove.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the fiddlesticks. Help me here.
Oh,
you're looking at two of the wrong people here.
The nightshade. The nightshade is where arsenic. No, that's not arsenic. It's belladonna.
Yes, that's belladonna. But the foxglove produces the pill for angina.
Angina. It's the it's
not
actually
glycerin?
Used as a heart medicine.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
There's certain high blood pressure medications that are made from snake venom. Because
that's what's wrong with me. I've been taking snake venom.
There you go.
That explains my snarky attitude.
Well, they use scorpions. They use certain spiders, and they use the venom. It's just in a very diluted form, you know.
Oh,
but I'm not going to sit here and list all the pills, but there's so many that come from that.
Okay, I'm going to have to look that up now.
But
I wasn't intended to go into science. I can tell.
But once they discover these plants and how they help, and the compounds, then they synthesize the compounds.
Of course.
Yes.
And it's not as dangerous.
Yeah, that explains everything.
We so took us off the track of ghost talk, but it was fascinating when you were talking about, you know.
I started to say it sounds like herbal luau or what, you know.
the spray and
the
stuff.
The spray is where we started.
It is something that people can use. The candles, absolutely, because it is something people can use. And everybody can use a little bit of knowledge. I mean, knowledge is power.
Well, I like the way it all sort of fits together. You know, we talked about herbs. We talked about paranormal stuff. We talked about psychic fairs. But all this stuff fits together. It's all part of the big thing, you know?
bigger picture.
Yeah.
And it's the same science all the way across the
Exactly.
board.
Exactly. So what we're going to do, I think we're going to wrap it up, but because I've only got 5 minutes left, and I've got to make sure we don't go too far
well,
over.
By the way, Dr. Chuck, Miracles of Joy says your classes are the 7th, the 14th, and the 21st. Just
well,
FYI.
There you go. Well, you know, I'm old. I forget stuff. Matter of fact, I just realized I forgot my pants. I'm glad we're not on camera.
Oh, this is why we got cameras
in
the studio.
Once you have 70 years old, you can get away with anything.
Dr. Chuck is at home, and we are in the studio.
Yes.
Our eyes are
safe. Safe and sound.
We're all safe. We're all safe and sound. So, don't forget to listen to Luann's show on the second
Tuesday
of the month.
Each month.
And don't forget that Sunday, April the 24th at 7 o'clock, I will have my own show. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
So I'm doing my show. Woo-hoo!
What
and
are you going to do with that? How are you
going
to do it?
My first guest is going to be animal communicator and psychic medium, Carrie Glazer.
I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. It's like we know her.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear the story of how she got here.
Yes, it is. It is an interesting story. I mean, it really is. It is a really interesting story.
I lived it, and it's an interesting story.
Yeah. I think people will be interested in that. So we will be having that. So please,
I am very excited.
Please join us on Sunday at 7. So we only have two shows now that are not on Wednesday. And don't forget, you can become a VIP member. Send us an email through makeitsonetwork@gmail.com. Tell us you want to get a 10-minute reading for $10, and we will put you on the list, make that happen for the month, but we can only accept 10 emails. And right now, we really only have spaces for two more people. So get in touch with me. Be there. Be square, as they say. Well, Dr. Chuck, thank you so very much for another fantastic show.
Oh, hey, I love it. I'm glad when we just riff like this. It's fun.
Yeah, we should do this more often.
I just love the way the science all fits. That to me is the whole thing.
Yeah, it does.
It works.
And Gentella, thank you for joining us from your location. We really appreciate you calling in. Thank you so very much.
Yes. Fingers crossed, no strep.
No strep.
Thank you.
Thank you, but no. And Carrie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And thank you. I just feel like I should call you the scientist.
I'm not a perfect scientist, but I can always find the information if we don't have it in our head.
That's no joke.
Yeah,
it's always out there. You just have to look for it.
Well, she knows how. And Lou. Detective Lou, absolutely. So we're going to wrap this up, and thank you for everybody that joined us tonight. We really, really appreciate you. And don't forget to, for those of you that are going to be called by us next Wednesday, if you want to be a part of that group, get in touch with us and let us know. Until then, we will see you on the next one. Good night, everybody.
Night-night.
Bye.
Bye.
Ghost Talk is sponsored by Crossings Paranormal Research. Crossings has been restoring balance and peace of mind for over 17 years. Crossings is not about proving a spiritual presence exists. Rather, Crossings' goal is the restoration of peace and balance to a home or business. If you are experiencing paranormal events, please contact CPR through its website crossingspr.org.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Hartman here, inviting you to join me Sunday, April the 24th at 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time for my new show, Metaphysical Connections and More. I will be chatting with some of the most amazing people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Texas, and the U.S. The show is about our discovery of a field that seems to be so mysterious yet has some of the kindest, generous, and most loving people ever created. So let's explore this world of magic, love, and self-discovery. Sunday, April the 24th at 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, right here on Make It So Network.
In accordance with the laws in several countries, we must point out that all psychic readings given here on Make It So Network are subject to interpretation and should not be taken as absolute. All readings given by Make It So Network psychics are for entertainment purposes only, and no guarantee can be given as to the accuracy of a reading. Readings on Make It So Network do not replace professional medical, legal, business opinions and advice. Make It So Network and its owners, members, affiliates, partners, family members and associates assume no legal liability for any damages, losses, or other consequences of any client decisions subsequent to or based on readings provided here. By accepting a reading on Make It So Network, you are confirming that you are 18 years old or over. Thank you again for joining us and have a great week. Until we reconnect, stay healthy and hopeful. We realize that these are stressful times and we encourage you to seek professional connections if you or a loved one are having suicidal thoughts. Please go to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 TALK or text HELLO to 741741, which is the crisis text line. Both are free, open 24/7, and they will respond. Good night.
This is psychic medium Carrie Glazer, and you're listening to Make It So Network.